And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Max Cohen and Yana Shanaeus. This is our post-match of the 2-0 loss for Fulham against West Ham at Craven Cottage on Saturday. We have a lot to talk about in this very bad loss for Fulham, but before I do anything, I have to welcome my co-host to the show. Mr. Cohen, how you doing? It's been less than 24 hours. Have you recovered yet? I haven't.
Yeah, it's not looking good, Russ. It's pretty hard to take positives from that match, although I think that first half was the best we've played in the attacking sense all year. Yeah. And that is encouraging, but everything else is just so frustrating. When you can see two goals off literally their only two shots in the entire first half there for West Ham, that's just a killer. And you cannot do that in the Premier League. And it's getting to the year, it's getting to the part of the year when you start to wonder, are we going to be bottom at Christmas? How long are we going to be? Are we going to be bottom? Are we going to be cut adrift? And for now, we're still very much in it. I mean, only 3 points separates us from getting outside of the drop zone. But we need points fast. And listen, the West Ham match is behind us. We're not going to get any points out of that. That match is done. But we're entering a really season-defining festive period. And absolutely, if we don't get wins against the likes of Huddersfield, Newcastle, Wolves, you know, teams around us, Burnley coming up after Arsenal away, if we don't get wins in those matches, we're looking at a very, very tough miracle to get us out of this predicament win. And the players have to show more. And then you mentioned the post on the full-time show yesterday, they have to play for the club. Yes. And right now, we're not seeing that.
They need to play as a team. And that's going to be the theme for me during this post-match show. I said that on full-time. I don't think this team is playing together. They're playing as individuals instead of as a unit. West Ham played together as a team. They defended as a team. They went forward as a team, and they scored as a team. Fulham are just playing as a bunch of individuals and not playing together, and that's been the issue for me. And you're right, Max, before I go to Giannis, I agree with you. These next three matches are vital. Mike Gregg said on the show I did with him that we need 6 points from these four matches. Well, it's still there for them. And that's just to give us a chance for the second half of the season, honestly, because if they don't come up with 6 points, they will be in serious trouble. They need to get 2 wins out of the next three. It's a challenge. They need to be up for it, and they need to be fighting for this club. And that's what I want to see moving forward. Mr. Janaeus, over to you. Very disappointing loss, my friend.
Yeah, it was, because We got off to a decent start, and then we had that camera 1v1. I'm still scratching my head out. And then they scored. It was a nice goal by Snodgrass. I give him credit, but it was a mistake. You know, Adoy, unfortunately, he's sort of overrun a tackle, and one thing's led to another. And the knockback and it's a lovely goal by Snodgrass. Although it looked like Rico was partially sighted, but it was a killer. Kicking the balls, because we played very well up until that point. And I thought, oh, here we go again. It's another one of those. And, 12 minutes later, they scored the second, and that was, although that was more comical. And beyond that, we huffed and we've puffed, but we didn't look like we were going to get back in it.
Yeah, listen, I hear you, my friend. What's frustrating about this, and I'm going to be reading some quotes coming up from Claudio Ranieri. He's talking about the play in the first half, and Max was also talking about how the play in the first half offensively looked good. But here's the thing, and I remember them saying this on the NBC broadcast, is that this is the time when Fulham were in the ascendancy that they need to score. This is right after the situation with Kamara, and they got sucker punched. And this is what happens when you don't take advantage of your opportunities, Giannis. We've seen this way too many times from this team, but this was so evident in this match that this is a combination for me. Not taking advantage of your opportunities, not being clinical, and defending as a team. And I think West Ham did the exact opposite. They defended as a team, and they were clinical.
Yeah, and if you look at, maybe it's going to sound a little crazy, if you look at Man City for a second, talent notwithstanding, if you watch what they do when they lose the ball, they're like vultures. And yeah. Their recovery time is very, very quick, and they all committed. Every one of the 11 is committed to defending when they lose the ball.
Yep.
And we're just not enough of us do that. And it was two, you know, it was two sucker punches, counter attacks. And to give Pellegrini a lot of credit, he's probably said, well, they're going to come in, they're going to come at us quickly. They may cause us some trouble. All we need to do is be patient. Their back four is like the Titanic.
Yep.
We'll get them on the break. We'll score goals. They're the only team in the top four leagues that haven't conceded a goal. We will score goals. We just need to be patient. And that's what happened.
Exactly. They were waiting for their time, and they took advantage of the time. They knew that they would get it, Giannis. And they have that team mentality, basically just waiting for you to make a mistake. Unfortunately, I know this very well. And that's exactly what happened in this match. They were solid and defending, and then, of course, going forward, they were clinical. And that's the difference because, you know, again, when you look at that match, we were talking about this before we started recording. Besides those two opportunities, there was another one by Anderson. But what else did West Ham really offer going forward? They looked dangerous, but they didn't really test Rico except for that opportunity from Anderson. And, of course, they scored the two goals. They were just extremely clinical. They took advantage of those chances when they got them, and Fulham did not. And that, to me, is what is driving me crazy one day later, is that it was there for them, Giannis. They had the opportunity. And they blew it.
Yep, they did. And, you know, the one person who's probably going to be sitting at home now with a tail between his legs is Boo Boo. Because he had the 1v1. I mean, give him credit. He forced a
save. Does that change the match if he scores?
Let's talk about Schürrle. Let's talk about Schürrle with a disgrace on the pitch, taking shots from everywhere, you know, getting nowhere near the goal. I mean, listen, Kamara should have scored, but I can't stand the Kamara bashing, and I know Giannis, you're not one of the people to do that, but I've seen it all over Twitter and Facebook. Get a grip. I mean, this guy's the one making chances, and he was combining really well. He forced a really good save out of Yancey a couple minutes later from range. People forget about that. It's frustrating. Of course, he should have scored, but he's also got same guy scored against Leicester, same guy scored against United. He's on good form, and unlike other players in the pitch, he actually runs and tries to make something happen. He actually tracks back. So I'd love all the hate being directed towards Kamara just to be shifted towards Andre Schürrle, who I think is just disgraceful. I don't want to see him start another match, honestly.
Okay, I understand that. I want to go back to Giannis because I want Giannis to finish his point about Kamara.
Sure.
Well, the thing about the margins in this division is that they're so fine and there are so few chances. He's opened his body up, and Fabianski's basically given him three quarters of the net, and he's decided to be cute and go near post. And if we score that goal, I think we win it. Suddenly the momentum takes off, but then...
Yeah, I agree with that. I know it's simplistic to say, but I agree with you.
And his reaction and the rest of the team, I think, said it all. And when Snodgrass scored, I think the one image I've got is that the camera focused on the reaction of Tim Ream. And Tim Ream had this just defeated look as he walked away. It was poor. I mean, I think that Mitro had the cross that came in from Brian. Yep. I think with the angle, that was the wrong one. He should have headed it across goal. Camera had the header at the near post. Really needed to put more power into it. Didn't. But at this level, you only maybe get two or three very good chances. And unless you put them away, unless Schürrle's going to score one from 55 yards, of course. Then you're not going to score. And the problem, until we can keep clean sheets, we don't really give ourselves a chance. And had we gone a goal up, I think we'd have won that. We'd have forced them to open up. But we didn't.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's now react to some comments from Claudio after the match. Like I said, I actually shared some of these on full time, and I'm going to share the rest of them because I find them interesting. So let me just share this. This is right on the manager reaction on the Fulham website, so you can see these. This is what Claudio shared. Quote, in the second half, it was difficult. They have experienced players and slowed down the tempo. Every time we looked to create, we became a little more nervous to score a goal. When you play a team who take one or two touches, it's difficult to press. We ran a lot. I saw my players fighting until the end, until the last second. When they slowed the tempo, took possession, and moved the ball, it's not easy. They scored very easily twice. We have to take time and stay calm. But we wanted to get the ball immediately, which is not right. I explained during a training session about staying calm and taking the ball at the right moment. It's one thing to do it in training. It's another to do it in a match. It's difficult to say our first half an hour was good because they scored twice. But if you saw our first match against Southampton and our second home match against Leicester, I think this was the best. I needed to give all my confidence to my players and continue to work hard during training. They understand where they've made mistakes. We need to stay together. I have a very good dressing room, and the players are together. At this moment, it's important to stay calm and react. All right, Giannis, to you first. Thoughts on what Claudio shared after the match?
I don't disagree. I mean, he's obviously set it up. I think the problem right now is that psychologically, a lot of the players are shot. You've got, and I think it's a lot of it is linked to the actual signings that to Tony Khan brought in that they just haven't panned out.
Yeah.
Mawson was obviously injured for a while. He's been in and out. Sarri has been a disaster, to be honest. Anguissa has not been much better. Reem hasn't, I know he's not signing from the close season, but Reem hasn't recovered from the concussion. You know, Fosu Mensah's not been there. You've got Joe Bryan's had injuries. Dennis Adoy's having to start every game. That just about sums it up. It's messy. It's messy right now. I felt very sorry for Tom Kearney yesterday because anytime he's on the ball, he's sheer quality. But he's covering a lot of ground and he's trying to distribute the ball. And you've got someone like Sarri who's scared to knock a ball 10 yards. And poor Mitro up front is all alone and he's not getting any sort of support, to be honest. You've got Schürrle who just refuses to track back. So the left back is basically a sitting duck. And we didn't have Sess either. It's just a really messy situation. And Newcastle is next week and, you know, they've performed now, win yesterday. And I think the transfer window can't come quick enough. I'm sure that Brendan is commanding the phones now and saying, look, I need four or five players. Some of these players shouldn't be playing at this level.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Max. Your thoughts on what Claudio shared after the match?
Yeah, I mean, what he said about the first half an hour, first half being the best we've played all season, I agree. I said that at the time. I think we were excellent going forward. With of course, the lone exception, we didn't score, but that's the big thing, right? But I thought our movement was penetrative. I thought we were a lot more calm than we were in the Southampton match, a lot less frantic. We were creating tons of chances. Players were getting really good positions. And the thing that impressed me the most is that kind of combination play. Dean Kamara, Mitrovic, and also Kane who's getting involved, and also Chambers. I thought there was really good passing in the final third, and we were creating good chances. And what impressed me about the first half is that our heads didn't necessarily drop after conceding goals. It showed how the goals are such anomalies, right? Because we conceded them, and then we went right back to pushing West Ham on the back foot, which was a big shock for me because normally I think the old Fulham might have just dropped their heads and stopped attacking, but we kept it going on. Now, of course, the dropped heads came later on, and for the last half an hour, that's something I'm going to take major issue with what Claudio said because he said, I saw my players fight until the end, and we all know that's not true. We all knew that match at 2-0, if you get a goal back, it's game on. But at the last half hour, the players gave up. There's nothing of note, really. And
no, the second half is there isn't much to talk about, honestly, because there was really nothing there.
But you know what sums it up for me, Russ, is that
what?
We had a really nice passing move in that second half. When Christie came on, I thought Christie made a difference. He put in a really dangerous ball into the box. It's kind of half blocked by, I think, Balbuena. And the ball's just sitting there in the 6-yard box, dying for someone to attack it. No one, not Mitrovic, not Schürrle. Schürrle's closest. Schürrle should have done better. They just stand there. There's no desire to get on the end of these crosses. And I think that was really our last decent opportunity. But it just encapsulated kind of the lack of fight in the closing stages. No one really fancied themselves to get back in the match, which is shocking considering how bright we played in the first half.
Okay, very good there. Giannis, before I go over to you to talk about the starting 11 and the 18 overall, something that is really starting to get to me that we have to talk about moving forward. And you've already talked a little bit about the transfer window coming up. And it involves finding players that want to fight for Fulham to stay in this division. And Tony Khan needs to find, I don't know, 3 to 5 players, maybe even more than that, that want to play for Fulham in the January transfer window. And the players that don't, they need to go, because I think that we have too many passengers out there, Giannis, that aren't in it for the team, not in it for 90-plus minutes the way that you need. They're not playing as a team. There are individuals out there that are not team players. And those players, for me, Giannis, have to go. And, you know, I've been going back and forth with some friends on this, and they're like, well, you can't do a lot in the January transfer window. You can't transform a team. Well, sorry. I think they need to. I think they need to find players that want to play for Fulham Football Club. And right now, I think that there are some that just don't seem to be the type of players that they need, Giannis. And Ranieri needs help. A lot of these players are players that have played for Slavisa. Well, he needs players that fit how he wants to play. So I disagree with people coming at me and saying, well, they don't need a lot of changes. Well, sorry, I think they need to find the players that want to play for Fulham Football Club in the second half of the season. And I don't care what the number is. They need to find the right players, because I think there are players here that don't want to play for Fulham. They need to go.
Yeah, I think it's a combo of things. I think a number of the players just aren't good enough.
Yes.
I think that the confidence of the team is absolutely shot. Slava, I mean, there's a couple of things that have come out in the last 24 hours. We've got the boneheads coming out saying, well, bring Slava back. yeah, there's been a few of those. I even had a bonehead come at me last night who said, why are you even commenting? Because you didn't even go to the game.
Oh, see, that really upsets me. That is ignorance beyond ignorance, Giannis. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I blocked him. His name's Roy Smith, and he's an idiot. And I said it publicly. There you go. Because he said, well, you know, your opinion's not worth a lick. Well, I was a season ticket holder for many years, and you know what? I'm Fulham through and through, and people seem to think that if you're not at the cottage, you're not a fan. Well, physically, there's a lot of us all around the world that have followed them for so many years, have been to so many games. But I think that the problem is you can't make a chicken salad out of chicken shit. And right now, Ranieri has a squad where you look at it, it's bad enough looking at the 11, and then you look at the bench and you go, oh, God, Floyd Aiti. Or, you know, as an example, there's nothing there.
There are a lot of championship players on that bench.
Yeah, there are. So what has to happen is he's got to bring, I'd say, 6 or 7 players in. And Tony Khan, I'm sorry.
I totally agree with you, Giannis.
Yeah, because he needs wholesale.
Well, see, and it's funny because I've been going back and forth on this, and people say, no, we just need 3 or 4 changes.
No.
I think it's more than that, Giannis.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, look, our fullbacks, we're not sure. Our centre-backs are a mess. Kearney doesn't have any support. Mitro's all lonely up front. We don't have strikers that will track back. I mean, we missed Sess yesterday, but would he have made a difference? Yeah, but again, and that's notwithstanding, you know, let's say it's 0-0, you've got 20 minutes to go, you say, okay, let's go for this. And then you look at the bench, and there's nothing there. And then the question mark, you know, you take
the Serie A. There's not Premier League quality there. That's the problem.
No, with the way some of these players are playing, I might be tempted to bring Betts off the bench just to run around. frankly, there's a go. There's a thought.
He didn't get a kick for us in the championship, and now he's getting one in the Premier League. What logic is
he
that?
He might fit what we need in some way. He might have a role, Giannis. You actually talked about that last week, and I thought he did a pretty decent job talking about season. Barry.
Yeah, that's what I think. I really thought he was going to start today, yesterday. Yeah. I was very surprised to see Seri in there. Yeah. I thought, oh, no. I feel sorry for him. He looks, you know, he looks small and lightweight. He doesn't look like when he puts a tackle in, he usually mistimes it. He's a poor man's Ray Wilkins at times, square balls all the time.
I think he's not a talented player, Giannis. I just don't know if he fits with what Fulham need right now.
I don't think he's cut out for this division right now. He looks like a scared cat. He looks cold.
Yeah.
As I said, I felt bad for Kearney because Kearney's trying to put the quality in. He's trying to play. And he must be looking around going, what have we got around here? I don't know who to pass it to.
Well, I want to ask you about Kearney in just a second, but I want to go back over to Max quickly. Your thoughts about me bringing up the January transfer window and all of this, because when I look at this match and I'm thinking about the players that we have and the effort that's going in there, I think I agree with Giannis. I think we need anywhere between 5 to 7 players to come in. And people think I'm crazy, Max. Do you agree or do you disagree? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree the squad needs changes, but how are we going to sign these players, right? What criteria are we going to use? Because the criteria used in the summer, I think we can agree, was a failure, right? The only players, I'm going to identify 2 players that can be considered a success that we got this summer, and that's Rico and Chambers. The others, and I'm not counting Mitch Rich because, you know, he wasn't a new signing in my book. The others, poor. I can't think of anyone who's been a unanimous success other than Rico and Chambers. And that's out of, what, 11, 12 players signed? That's disgraceful. If we use the same strategies that got us into this mess, I don't want us to get 7 or 8 players. Of course I want new players. I want players that can play for Claudio. But if Tony Khan...
Right, that's what I want.
And also the scouts, because it's not just Tony Khan. Listen, Tony Khan is to blame, but also scouts are to blame, because he doesn't just do this all on his own. He doesn't do this in a bubble.
It's a group effort.
It's a group effort. And both groups failed this summer. We can agree that. I think me, for sure, I can kind of speak for you guys because you're both excited this summer.
Yep.
I was so excited. I was so happy by this transfer business. And it showed how wrong I was where we are now.
Well, see, you're not wrong, Max. Let me go back to you. Yeah. You had every right to be excited, okay? I had every right to be excited. The problem is, it wasn't with the approach. I wanted them to go with this approach. They were going for it. They wanted to compete. Unfortunately, they did not find the right players. They spent all this money. The approach wasn't wrong. It was the actual players that they brought in.
And let me say something. This might sound a bit too, I don't know, you're da, you could say, but buy British. I'm sorry. Listen, it's not necessarily a knock against some of the other players, but if you buy players like Seri and Anguissa, they're coming from the French League. And you can also say Vieta, right? Coming from the Spanish League. They don't know what it takes to play in the Premier League. A player who does, Callum Chambers. And he's been one of our most effective players because he knows what it takes to play in that top division. Alfie Mawson also had Premier League experience. He's been all right. But I think we need players like we've been living with Gary Cahill. Get Gary Cahill. He knows what it takes to win the Premier League. He's won the Champions League with Chelsea as well. This is take experienced players who know how to stay in the division. And it's not pretty. And in the end, I don't think it's a sustainable option, but it's what we need to stay up. And we have to buy players who will play for Claudio and know what it takes to stay in the Premier League.
I actually agree with you. Right now, they're in survival mode, and you need to find players that will keep you in the division, and then you reassess after the season's over. But listen, if I'm Tony Khan and his staff, I'm looking right now. I evaluate every player, and I say, this is the players that are with us, and these are the players that aren't with us. And the players that aren't with us, I try to move, and then I try to find replacements for those players. They need to self-scout everyone and find out who they believe in. And then the rest, they should be thought of on their way out, because and there's a decent amount of them that they need to really look at hard and make decisions on, because there are not enough players that are good enough, as Yana said, skill-wise, and then other players that just aren't for the team. So it's a combination. It's talent and actually desire to play for Fulham. Those type of players need to go, and they need to move on. And that's just – I hate to break into our post-match to talk about this, but I'm frustrated. I'm very upset about this, because they have a chance to do something special, to stay in this division and build on that. Now, unfortunately, because of the situation that they're in, it's survival mode, and you need players that will help you survive. All right. Giannis, back over to you. Let's look at the starting 11 and the 18 overall, and also the formation. What were your thoughts when you saw the 18, and then, of course, later on when you saw the formation?
The first thing I was thinking was, where's Candy going to play? And you saw Sessa was going to be out, obviously, Ryan Donovan, and that's bad news, because if it's his groin, it might be a little while before he's back. Looking at the lineup, I thought it was okay. You know, the first thing I look at is what West Ham are going to do. And, you know, their typical 4-4-2, ho-hum, Noble and Rice in the middle. Chambers and Seri, I was okay. I wasn't so sure about Seri. and how that was going to work. I really would have preferred Kearney to play on the in the middle with Chambers. That would have made more sense. And Schürrle was going to be the other question mark, just because, well, just because he's Schürrle. And, you know, it was an okay lineup, I suppose. But again, Odoi's got to be in the lineup. Cyrus Christie isn't in there. I think Christie deserves a chance. Odoi must be the. Odoi must. He must. Either he's got golden horseshoes up his arse, or he's in tight with the owners. Because how on earth, right now, he's even in this 11, I will never know. But then again, Tim Ream is probably just as bad.
Yeah.
So. It's a miserable, it's a really miserable looking lineup, to be honest.
It is. It's funny because I was contacted by a fan in Spain that immediately messaged me and said, we're going to lose 4-1 based on the lineup, because it's like, look at all these championship players. You just mentioned Ream and Odoi, that I love what these guys gave to Fulham. They're not good enough for the Premier League.
No, they're not. No, they're not. We might as well have Mark Fotheringham in there. Oh, maybe not.
I saw that, by the way.
Yeah, but no, it's not a lineup that inspires you, and the bench doesn't exactly inspire you either. So, you know, it might have made sense if Kearney had played with Chambers. You put Vieto out on the right. Maybe find a way, maybe for Cissé to, I don't know, put him in somewhere in there. I think he's got to be better than that. Back four is oh Lord, it's rotten. And Rico. Well, I got to feel sorry for him. I mean, he's not exactly. We keep seeing that look on his face of sheer just despair as the ball goes in the back of the net. He's looking at defenders, going, "What planet did you come from?"
They're so disorganized, Giannis. That's the problem with all of this. They're not playing together as a unit. The back four, they're all over the place.
Yeah, and they're all over the place.
That's embarrassing, you know. And again, we'll talk about the goals in just a second when we break down and analyze what went wrong, because those goals both are so preventable. But again, mistake after mistake keeps happening. But let me ask you this before I go to Max, because I want to talk about this. Tom Kearney. Now, Kearney, I don't think was as bad as some might think, but I think you're asking a lot from a player that really we already know he's not good out wide. He's not good wide, Giannis. He needs to play central. So the minute I saw that, I, again, was questioning it. Your thoughts about Kearney?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. And
he's not good in that role. Position.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm not going to have a go at Ranieri. He's still doing his tinker thing, because he must be sitting there going, my God, what am I doing with this lot? But Kearney didn't stop trying. You know,
he was trying. He was out of position.
Yeah, big time. Big time. And you could sense his frustration.
Yeah.
And
he's not quick enough for that position. That's why the central position works great for him, because then he can create. But when he's out to the right, it just doesn't work. And I've seen it before. And the minute I saw that, I was like, I know Claudio is new to Fulham, but hopefully he will not do that again, because you waste what you can get out of Tom Kearney. That's why I just wanted to bring it up.
He's our best player, and you got to use him.
You got to play to his strengths, Giannis.
Yeah, you wouldn't put Tom Brady as a linebacker.
No, exactly. Thank you for saying that. Max, over to you quickly. Your thoughts on the starting 11, 18, and our conversation about Kearney. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about the Kearney thing first. He's not a winger. We all know this. I mean, yes. Kit Simons showed us this, right? That was way back when, right?
I was going to say, we've already seen this movie.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing I would say is that he didn't play as a winger, right? He drifted in a lot. He was never on the touchline. He was never putting crosses. He played a lot more centrally than one would expect out of that position. So he did end up getting on the ball a bit more, but what it left is that we had a real lack of width in the final third. And if you remember, Dennis Odoi was he was invited to go forward because Candy was tucking in, the overlap was on.
Right.
And we actually got exposed many times on the right wing, most notably for their first goal, because Odoi was up forward, had to track back, because Candy was tucked in and Odoi played right wing back. So not only was Candy's position bad for him, it also affected us defensively, by leaving us short at the back. So
yeah,
a really bad decision on many fronts in my mind. And the other thing I would say about, we're talking about Adoy being in the starting lineup and he has to have some kind of blackmail or something to be in, but I actually kind of disagree with that slightly, because I thought when we played Adoy and Mawson, both as center backs, I thought our defense looked quite strong, right? This was in previous matches. This happened against the Southampton match, Liverpool match, you know, Chelsea, whatever. The only thing I don't understand is why Cyrus Christie's been dropped. He should be on the right, he should be playing right back, not Adoy. I like Adoy center back. Adoy's right back, we can all agree, is terrible. It makes no sense. Cyrus Christie did nothing to be dropped. I thought he played really well when he came on, actually. I'd even say excellent, because he was really bright going forward. He neutralized Eden Hazard. He played well against Southampton. He delivered a really nice ball in the box that led to our goal. Why is Cyrus Christie being dropped all of a sudden? That's the biggest frustration for me.
No, I agree with you on that. But if I'm being completely honest, I understand what you're saying about Dennis Adoy. I just don't think he's good enough for the Premier League. Can he do a job?
I agree. But he's the best we have right now, Russ.
I understand that.
With Le Marchand injured and Liam playing the way he is, there's no other way except to start Mawson and
Adoy. Because right, I would, and this is going to sound terrible to say, I would rather have him over Tim Ream. Tim Ream's just not good enough.
And I don't think Dennis Adoy is as bad as people make him seem out to be. He's not Premier League quality.
No, he's just not Premier League quality. This is the problem. There are too many players out there that are not Premier League quality. And we get exposed partially because of these players. It's not their fault. This is just not their fault.
The back four is a joke. Joe Bryan, championship player. Alfie Mawson, arguably Premier League relegation player, right? We saw this one.
Yep.
Dennis Adoy, nowhere near Premier League. And Tim Ream, nowhere near Premier League either. How do we expect to not keep clean sheets of that back four? How on earth? And with a holding midfielder of Jean-Michel Seri, he doesn't know what tracking back if it hit him in the head. So,
yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. That's why I have really been strong about the January transfer window, because I'm sorry, if people think that the players that we have that we just need to make a tweak or two because it worked with, say, Roy Hodgson, there needs to be more than just a little tweak, okay? Sorry. There needs to be some good maneuvering here. They need players that have the experience in the Premier League. That's just my thoughts on it, that want to fight for Fulham Football Club, and they have to be good enough. And like I said, this is twofold. It's either players that don't want to play for Fulham or players that just aren't good enough. They have a little bit of both, and these players be on the pitch for Fulham. They need to get rid of these players, as many as they can, and focus on the players that can help them win. There are too many players that are not good enough, or the other part, don't want to play for Fulham. At least that's the opinion that I have watching some of these players. They don't seem to really be invested in playing for Fulham, and those players have to go too. It's a combination. All right, let's get right to it, guys. Let's go to the first half. And like we've been talking about before when we started the show, Fulham dominated the early stages of this match. You know, we had the shot early by Jean-Michel Seri. Then you have another shot by Schürrle. Then you have the opportunity shortly after from Aboubakar Kamara, set up beautifully from Alexander Mitrovic. He needs to score there, Max. You know, Yanis already talked about it. Your thoughts here. Sorry, this actually changed the match.
Yeah, it's a bad miss. It's a good run from the other position, but the ball gets stuck under his feet, and he scuffs it. He should be aiming for the far post there, not the near post. Big moment. You could say turning point, but, you know, we had other chances. It wasn't our only chance to have.
Yeah. No, we definitely had some chances. All right, let's now go to the goal from Robert Snodgrass. Yanis, I'll give you the privilege, as I should say, of breaking this down. This is set up by Anderson. So let's talk about the goal by Snodgrass.
Well, it was Adoy. The ball's been played down the left, and he's come flying in. And it was obviously a very, very wet surface, bucketing down with rain. And he sort of slid past the ball. And Anderson, I thought, had a good game for them. He's knocked it back, and Snodgrass has smacked it on. Beautiful goal. Beautiful goal.
But yes.
So avoidable. I mean, it was a sucker punch, because we'd, up until that point, I thought, first 15, 16 minutes, we played well and we created chances. and they looked all at sixes and sevens and at sea. And then it was really very much against the run of play. It was a lovely finish by Snodgrass, but it was, as I said earlier, Pellegrini's probably gone, well, let's absorb their pressure. They defend like the Titanic. We're going to create chances. We score a goal or two, they're finished. Yep. And it was against, I said, it was against the run of play, and that was it, 1-0.
Okay, very good. All right. Let's now go to the 26th minute. You have a diving header from Alexander Mitrovic that just goes wide. Yep. In the 27th minute, you have a header from Kamara from a set up by Odoi, and then 1 minute later, you have a shot by Kamara. And then in the 29th minute, Max, I'll go to you. You sent us a screenshot that really shows exactly how this whole situation went down. So let's talk about who's responsible for the goal from Antonio that gave West Ham the 2-0 lead and basically put the match away.
It's an absolute disaster class for us. That's the only way I can describe it, is that the ball comes in from West Ham's left wing, right? And Joe Bryan is almost playing a center midfield, center right wing position when that ball comes in. And he's a left back. So the ball comes in, and Mawson, if you look back, he's marking space. He's doing nothing. He's playing almost towards the right side of the penalty area. Ream does not leave Chicharito completely unmarked, right? Ream is trying to mark both Chicharito and Antonio at the same time. So he shifts over to the Mexican striker and leaves Antonio completely unmarked at the back post because Joe Bryan is completely AWOL, completely up the pitch, nowhere near his position. And Andre Schürrle, of course, this guy couldn't track back if his life depended on it, right? He's just staying there watching it happen, having a nice little, oh, no, I'm a World Cup winner. I don't have to do this. And Antonio's completely unmarked and just slot past Rico, who, you know, I'm not going to slate Rico here, but I think he probably could have done better. I mean, it's right through his legs. Keepers never like getting beaten like that. And it was just, I can speak for all of us here, it was the most frustrating goal, I think, we might have conceded all season. Because it was literally, that's our second shot of the match. It's 2-0 down, and we just come off a bunch of opportunities we should have scored. At that point, I wasn't even angry. I was just done. I was exasperated. I was just forlorn, honestly, because it was the worst possible way to go 2-0 down. The most preventable goal, I mean, but it was, in essence, it was the most Fulham goal we could have conceded. It was a combination of so many failures of defense, failures of positioning, failures of communication. And in the end, it was another goal. And the commentators love to say it. There goes their clean sheet. Most goals conceded in the Premier League. They're on track to concede 93. And at this point, you know, we've heard all of them so much. It doesn't even hurt anymore. It's just kind of a dull pain.
The two comments I hear the most, Fulham has spent over £100 million. That's number one. And number two would be how many goals they give up. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about both of them, if I'm being completely honest with you. It's over and over and over again. All right, but it's a fair criticism on both. All right, after the goal, Fulham actually had a few opportunities. You have the opportunity from Mitro in the 33rd minute. And then you have a couple shots from Schürrle and Kearney, 45th minute, and in stoppage time. And we go to the half down 2-0. And then to start the second half, you have Christie coming on for Ream, and then later on, other substitutions, you have Johansson in the 61st minute coming on for Seri. In the 76th minute, you have Cabano coming on for Schürrle. Giannis, there's really no key moments I can talk about in the second half, so let's just talk about it in general terms. This, to me, was a professional second half from West Ham. They just took the sting out of the match, and they – cruising would not be the right word. They just did their job. This is – I'm going to use a Patriots term because that's what they did in the second half. They did what they needed to do and left Craven Cottage with a 2-0 victory. There's not many moments I could talk to you about in the second half. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we came out in the second half. We looked beaten. I'm not sure what he put in not sure what Ranieri put in their team. But we just came out. I mean, it's not like we quit. We didn't. I don't think we quit collectively. I think we worked hard, but we just didn't have any quality or any class to break them down. They defended well. Yeah. And, you know, we tried. I thought Christie played well second half. I thought Cabano, you know, had a lot of energy and he worked hard. I mean, he always gives you a decent shift. Johansson cheered us all up with his customary yellow card. You know, but it was, you know, we didn't have anything. I think it was the first minute in the second half.
Yeah.
I thought, we're not coming back in this. We don't look like we're up for the fight. We've been so shell-shocked by that first half and the two goals. And considering that we've actually played well attacking and the chances have just killed us. As I said, I go back to that camera chance. It's not the chances you create, it's when you try to create them. And he puts that away. Or even that one, I'd even say...
Think about the confidence it gives that team.
Oh, big time. Big time. And right now, you know, I think Scott Parker, we don't mention Scott Parker a lot, but Scott Parker has got to help to do a job in terms of lifting these boys. Because this is a very difficult situation.
It is.
We're waiting for things to go wrong. And
that's a great way to look at it, Yanis, because that's the way they're playing. They're waiting for that other shoe to drop. They need to be on the front foot and believing that they're going to score the goal. And that negativity that, you know, oh my, something bad's going to happen, it keeps happening.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's negative. And we talk about, you know, the next few games. My thing would be, let's see if we can win a game. Let's see if we can beat Newcastle and then say that's a start, because Burnley are struggling. Huddersfield are struggling. Southampton are struggling.
It's all still there for them, Yanis. That's the crazy part of all of this. It's still there, but they need to get the points. Like you said, a victory. Here I am saying that they need two out of the next three. I still believe that, but it's a very good point by you. Right now, they just need a victory.
Yep, agreed. And that's going. It doesn't matter how.
I don't care how it happens at this point.
It happens, yeah. It doesn't matter how it happens, as long as we can do it now. Can we do it? Newcastle's winnable. But
I know it's crazy to say, but I think that's a winnable match too, Yanis. You know, they just have to go with the right mentality. That going there, they are playing better. I'm talking about Newcastle, but Fulham can go there and win. They can certainly go there. I've seen it before. I know it was in the championship. They can go there and win. All right. Yep. Let me go to Max real quick. Max, your thoughts on the second half, then we'll wrap this up with looking at the stats quickly.
Giannis was right. We looked shell-shocked, but it was just so, it was almost like it was a delayed reaction from conceding those first two goals. Because despite what I would have expected, which is from us after we concede 1-0, 2-0, our heads drop, we stop attacking. You know, we kept at it in the first half, and then it almost took us until the second half to realize, oh, wait, we're 2-0 down. We should be sad, you know, which was immensely confusing, because normally at halftime, your manager gives you, you know, an inspiring team talk, and you come out strong in the second half. And if anything, we were weaker in the second half. And maybe Claudio referenced it. It might have been that we are tired. We've been chasing them too much in the match and on. But it's just always frustrating. I mentioned earlier, the match was in our hands. You know, 2-0 down, some say the most dangerous lead in football. You know, it's not really true. But the old cliche does ring true. If you get a goal back, if you score 2-1, we have momentum. The match could have been ours. But we just didn't see the fight from the players. And that's the most inexplicable thing, is that it was there for the taking, and we ended up really sleepwalking the past 20, 25 minutes of that match. And, you know, fans left early. I still think that's a bit shocking. If you see your football club play, you don't leave, you know. Doesn't matter how bad you're doing, you stay till the end. I'm going to disagree with Fulham fans there for leaving. At the end of the day, it's their choice. But the players did not justify, you know, them staying, honestly. We didn't make it a grandstand finish, and we waltzed to the finish line. And we can't do that the rest of the season. We need a complete performance.
I totally agree.
I don't know how many times you said this. We need a 90-minute performance, not just a 45 or a 30-minute performance.
We've seen one good half. And again, in this good half, we're talking about giving up two goals. So that's just not good enough. All right. Guys, I'm going to give you the full-time stats, and then after I give them to you, I have a question for both of you and get your thoughts on this. But here are the full-time stats. Possession. Fulham had 56% to 44% for West Ham. Total shots, 16-6 in favor of Fulham. On target, 4-3 in favor of Fulham. Corners 6-4 in favor of Fulham. Crosses 26-20 in favor of Fulham. Attempted passes 498-391 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes 263-163 in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy, guys, we always look at this. 80% for Fulham, which is what we are used to under Slavisa. 74% for West Ham. And then we look at fouls, 14-10 in favor of Fulham. Giannis, I want your thoughts on the full-time stats. But here's my question to you. And when I was looking at the stats and watching the match, this is what was going through my mind. Do you think the players are trying to figure out what their style is? What I mean is that I feel like they are still struggling with playing the old way under Slavisa and the new way under Claudio Ranieri. It's almost like they haven't completely given into the Ranieri style yet, that they're actually still playing similar to how they played under Slavisa. And when I looked at the possession stats, when I saw that and then I saw the passing accuracy, I'm like, that reminds me a little bit of how we played under Slavisa. Am I off base here?
No, it's going to take a little bit longer for them to buy in, number one. And number two, you've got to have players that are used to that type of system. And that's why, unfortunately, it may take until...
Everything was through the middle again. And that Slavisa passing, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And until Ranieri brings some of his disciples in, you'll have non-believers until you get players that can come in and, you know, and can lead the way. It's going to take, you know, I think we're going to need a little bit of luck, you know, a lucky bounce of somebody's bottom or something just to get a result where we can actually, you know, get the 3 points and get some self-belief again.
They need some belief.
It's not going to be easy.
Absolutely.
We need a clean sheet. Somebody cracked a joke yesterday. Somebody cracked a joke yesterday, and I thought it was very funny, on Facebook, and said, because we kept a clean sheet in the second half, does that mean because we didn't concede a goal, does that mean it's a clean pillowcase?
That's pretty funny. Hey, Giannis, before I go to Max, anything stand out to you from the full-time stats?
Well, if you didn't know the score, you'd go, well, we've probably won this pretty comfortably, 2-3 nothing. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case. It was, you know, at the end of the day, you can put through stats all you want, but unfortunately for us, it is the final score that counts, and we were 2 goals to the worse, and we still only have 9 points from 17 games.
That's terrible. It's terrible, my friend. Max, over to you. I want your thoughts on this. Could Fulham be caught between two styles and trying to basically transition to the Ranieri style and still playing the Slavisa style?
I don't know. I mean, I think the stats might say that, but if you look at how we played, Russ, I think it wasn't plodding. I thought it was pretty. We played with urgency. It was penetrative. So I think it was just not even a stuck between styles. Today we saw the best of what Ranieri's attacking can be, right?
Okay.
I think we can all agree the Southampton match showed glimpses, but it was too frantic. Yeah. Leicester City, we saw, again, some small glimpses.
Okay, so you see more buy-in than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm confident. I'm not really worried about the attacking play today, yesterday. I thought, again, I'm going to say the first half was honestly the best we played all season with creating chances, because I really thought the passing combinations was bright. We got into really good opportunities. And on another day, one of those shots goes in, it's a different story.
Okay, fair enough. What did you take out of the full-time stats?
That we're beginning to boss teams at home, right? It wasn't the Southampton match and we had less possession than them. We played like the home team, which was interesting. And it shows that Ranieri isn't just counterattack. We can play on the front foot.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, 2-0, that's the only stat that we care about now, right?
Okay. Very good there. Sadly. All right. Real quick, guys, let's give a rating for Claudio. Max, to you.
5. I could say 4 or 5. I'm going to say 5 because I think he got it wrong with the starting 11. I think he got it wrong big time with Adore on the right, no Christie, and Carney on the right wing. That was frustrating, but I'm going to give him credit for sticking with Kamara. And also, I thought the substitutions of Christie, he acknowledged he messed up and he fixed that early. And I like throwing on Cabana because I'm a big Niskanen fan.
So okay, excellent. Giannis, rating for Claudio.
5. Adoy shouldn't have started. Shirley shouldn't have started. Kenny out of position. I'd have given Cissé a shot. We didn't come out with a spark in the second half. We came out flat. We came out expecting things to go wrong, and we almost at times we looked like we threw in the towel. So we have to be better prepared. I'd have to give him a 5.
Okay. Giannis, over to you. I want final thoughts from you and final thoughts from Max, and then I'll give my final thoughts. First to you, Giannis.
Well, I hope that's as low as it gets. I mean, it's, you know, we've got to go up to St. James's Park next week. I hope that Sess is fit. It worries me that he has a groin problem. It's going to be a long week at the training ground for sure, but it's a game where I think we have a chance of getting something. We've got a fairly good record up at St. James's. And I think...
they shouldn't be intimidated by going there, Giannis.
No, they shouldn't. I just think we need a little bit of luck. And let's see if we can do the unthinkable and go a whole 90 minutes without... You know, even if we went up there and got a 0-0, that would be massive in terms of keeping
it progress.
Yeah, it really would be progress. But whether or not we do is another matter.
Okay. Max, your final thoughts.
Exactly a year ago today, we lost 1-0 away at Sunderland.
I saw you tweet this out, buddy. Yeah.
I got a little stick for it, but I'm going to stick with it here because after that match, we didn't lose another game until May, of course, in the famous 23 match. Yep. And if you would ask anyone after that Sunderland match and said to them, listen, are we going to go on a 23 match and beat run? Or are we even going to finish in the top half of the championship? Every fan you would ask would have said no. And even it was the most normal circumstances. I remember that I was at the next match, the Barnsley match at home. We won 2-1. It was very narrow against a team that eventually would get relegated. It wasn't a good game, but big runs can start on the smallest of performances. And listen, I know it's a different league. I know it's a different manager. I know it's a different team. I know it's completely different circumstances. But the one lesson that we can take from that persists no matter what division you're in, is that teams can change.
Yes, they can.
Is that you might think you've hit rock bottom, and you truly have. And even when you don't think it's going to happen, the tide can turn with the littlest of things. And with a positive January transfer window, with some wins on the bounce starting, you know, in the next couple of matches against Newcastle, Wolves, and Huddersfield, this team can change. And it looks bad now, but it looked bad then. And there is still hope if we just keep the faith. It's my closing.
Okay, very good. My final thoughts actually involves the listeners of Cottage Talk. I need to do this because the amount of listeners we've had lately has been through the roof. And this has been a very bad season for Fulham Football Club, but we've had so many people listening to the show. So I just wanted to thank everyone for doing that because it keeps me wanting to do more and more shows. And these shows are difficult to do when they lose like this, but we still continue to do them. And one last thing I want to mention, as I've mentioned in other shows, we're now on Spotify. And this is a wonderful way to listen to the show. So if this is how you listen to your music, if you're in the car, you can also listen to Cottage Talk on Spotify and give us a follow. All right. Great show, guys. But let's wrap this up. For my co-host Max Cohen and Giannis Giannis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.